First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And we've been looking at the subject of Christian suffering. And First Peter chapter 2. And we are in the 11th verse now. We'll start at verse 11. And we're only going to do a couple of verses here, verse 11 and 12. And as we've been dealing with Christian suffering, the Apostle Peter, he has pointed out the fact that we are a certain kind of people. We have a relationship with God, was how he started, and in encouraging the saints here who are going through tribulation, going through troubles. And in doing so, he is explaining that, hey, this is who you are, and you have a relationship with God, and God loves you, and God has a care for you, and he's invested a lot in you. And so as the children of God, we find encouragement that the sovereign of the universe, that the one who has all things at his disposal, is watching over us, and he is looking after us, even when he allows us to go through different kinds of tribulation and trouble in our lives, even when he tests us sometimes with trials that are to prove the faith that he has given. So, but then we get into the next chapter, chapter 2, and we started looking at suffering and our testimony, and the fact that in suffering the Lord has a purpose, has a plan that he is working out in our lives and in the lives of others around us that are all about that testimony that we have, and that the suffering sometimes actually initiates a kind of a testimony that we couldn't have otherwise. And so we're thinking about that a little bit here. We talked about how that as newborn babes that we have this relationship with the Word of God. The Word of God encourages us during times of trial, and we need to get into it. We've looked at the fact that we're lively stones, and that means that the church has a place in our lives as when times of trial and times of difficulty. And then we also looked at verses 6 through 10. We considered the fact the last message we had was that we were to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so we're to be those who are that part of our testimony, showing forth the praises of him. We're to be praising the Lord at all times, even in times when things are difficult. Though he slay me, Job said, yet will I trust him. And so there's times when, as the Lord's people, that we are going through trials and difficulties, but we still have the opportunity to praise the Lord, and we need to focus on that and focus on our praising God. But then looking a little further today, verse 11 and 12, subject today is, it might not be real obvious when we first read it, but I think it's here, and that is the subject is honest shining, honest shining. When we think about honest shining, we think about ourselves as a light. Christians, children of God we're lights, and we have a certain kind of a responsibility to reflect the light of the Lord into the lives of others. And so part of our testimony is being that light. And we'll think about that a little bit. And I think what Peter is saying here, when we'll read it here in a second, but I think what Peter is saying is don't allow suffering from whatever affliction, whatever kind it might be, or persecution, or whatever it might be, as these folk probably were suffering, don't let it hide your light. Don't let it hide the light that you're to have. Don't let it allow you to put it under a bushel, so to speak. Affliction will do that sometimes. And so I think we see that in these verses. So let's read verse 11 and 12, and then we'll reflect on a couple of passages elsewhere in the scripture that talk about that responsibility we have of shining. But look at verse 11 and 12. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Notice here, he says, he's pleading with them, verse number 11, he's pleading with them to see themselves as strangers and pilgrims in this world, that they're already unique in a sense in this world. We're already in a sense, we don't belong. This world's not our home. We're passing through as children of God. And so there's a sense in which we're already kind of isolated. We're already, we see ourselves that's part of sometimes the affliction or whatever, the persecution or something that we're going through. Sometimes it's because of there's already a sense in which that we are a little bit different and segmented in a sense from this world. And so he says, hey, realize and own it that you're strangers and pilgrims in this world. And he says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So we'll look at that, and then we'll consider the fact that that we're to have our conversation, our way of life, the way we walk, the way we live, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. So honest, what does that mean? And that's what we're going to get into. What does he mean when Peter says, have your conversation honest among the Gentiles? You say, was he just want me to, I need to be telling the truth? Yeah. But in what way is he referring to this honesty? And what does he mean by this honesty that he's referring to that's gonna reflect in other people seeing our good works and glorifying our Father which is in heaven? And so we'll think about that a little bit, and I think that some other scriptures will shed some light on that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, the privilege that we have of opening the Word and thinking upon it. And today, Lord, that you might help us, Lord, to just point out some things that you've shown us and help us, Lord, to simply be a tour guide, simply point out things that you've shown and you've revealed that might be of interest, it might be of blessing, it might be a help, might be an encouragement to anyone that's here today. And we just ask your blessings also that we'd be an encouragement to others, and you'd help, Lord, that the Word of God that we look at today might be an instrument to that. And we ask your blessings that the Spirit might move and might lead in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't allow... And get back to what I said earlier. Don't allow, and I think there's a summary of a decent summary of verse 11 and 12, at least in my opinion, is don't allow suffering from affliction of different kinds to hide your light. And that the honesty that he's referring to here in this passage of Scripture is living honestly and owning your Christianity, owning the fact that you're a child of God. Taking possession of that. You are, we are, but sometimes affliction or trials by persecution, being mocked, ridiculed, and such as that, sometimes cause us to want to hide. They cause us to want to no longer speak out or no longer see ourselves even as useful. And we don't even want to sometimes. Sometimes the affliction just causes us to want to shrink back from having any kind of influence and having any kind of a testimony among others. And I think Peter is saying that there's something a little bit disingenuous about that. That there's something a little disingenuous about not owning your faith. Peter's a good one to talk, isn't he? You remember, Peter's the one that the Lord said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Okay? So Peter's the one that the Lord said, you're going to shrink back completely from your testimony. And the persecution and the ridicule and the shame that's going to be brought upon you is going to cause you to deny me. It's going to cause you to even deny that you are a child of God. And so Peter's a good one. In one sense of the word, he's a good one to be saying this, because he wasn't there all the time. And the fact is that we know that. We look at the scripture and we say, well, Peter's been, he was living this way in a sense for at least a short period of time. He obviously repented and became a preacher that God greatly used. But at the same time, we see here though that letting his light shine was not necessarily his strength back during the time of the arrest and betrayal and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, of his Savior. In Daniel 12, look at a couple of passages. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. It's just a passage that talks about the future. And it speaks about the children of God and how in the future, that when they're really serving the Lord and no longer struggling with sin, that this is kind of the way they're going to look. This is the way we're going to look one of these days. And Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 3, if you look at that, it says and they that be wise, talking about those that are already, that are the Lord's people, he says, we're going to be those that awaken to everlasting life, verse number 2. He says, and they that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And he talks about the influence, in a sense here, of the brightness of those, of the shining of those that are the Lord's people. In Matthew chapter 5, we see the Lord himself referring to, perhaps referring even to Daniel, but certainly making a very clear and forthright statement about the responsibility of the disciples of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. And he says, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. He kind of says, hey, you know what? You're already set on a hill. You can't really hide the light of the world. I mean, you're the light of the world. Of the world, there's a sense in which the Lord wants the Christians to be an influence in this world in the sense of a testimony, shining. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So there's a sense in which it's going to be, have a positive influence. That testimony is going to have a positive influence on others around us. And so he says, let your light so shine before men. He's not talking about flashlights. He's not talking about lanterns or anything like that. He's talking about our influence. He's talking about our testimony. He's talking about our works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There's the sense in which he's referring to it. He's talking about good, doing good. He says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so ultimately, it is a positive spiritual influence upon others around us by being a good testimony, by having a good testimony. And as I say, the opposite of that would be like Peter. The opposite of that would be like when Peter denied the Lord. So verse 9 of the context, back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9, here a couple of verses before, he says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, so he refers to the fact that we as the Lord's people have been called out of darkness into his marvel, into the light of the Lord. And then as we read on here, so now verse number 11, let's look at it. Verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Your soul wants to walk in the light. We got a believer has got two natures. Romans chapter 8 tells us about that. But the believer has two natures. We got the nature, we got what's called the flesh. And the flesh is our old system, our old sinful system of doing things our way and wanting our will and wanting, you know, and just figure things out on our own. The spirit is the other side of that, and that is trusting the Lord, depending on the Lord, and leaning upon Him, and following Him. So our spiritual nature desires the things of the Spirit of God, desires the Word of God, desires the commandments of God, desires the will of God, wants to know the will of God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the spiritual side. That's our spiritual nature that we now have as believers. But we still contend with the old nature. And so there's this battle that is going on all the time in our lives. But our soul, ultimately, our soul wants to walk in the light. The believer's soul, the believer's true, real person, prominent person, predominant person within him, he is no longer in bondage to sin. He has been freed. He's been liberated. He is grateful for God to have saved him from his sins. And he knows he's right with God. She's right with God. And so your soul wants to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1 talks about walking in the light. And verse 5 through 10, you read it. He speaks about walking in the light. How that when we walk in the light, that we're honest. He talks about John talks about the honesty of that. And he says that if you don't, if you're walking in darkness, that you're lying. That there's a sense in which you're lying. You're being dishonest when you're walking in darkness because you're of the light. And so if we're of the light, I think Peter is saying, for us to own that. But at any rate, he says, dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The flesh is warring against us. The flesh is against the spirit and wants to stop us from shining, wants to stop us, wants to hinder our testimony, wants us to walk dishonestly. But anyway, affliction can tempt us to cease to be good as we want to. And that's our fleshly nature warring against us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, verse 5 talks about how that there's a war that's going on, and that war is one between the two natures that a believer has within him. Unbelievers got one nature, but a believer's got a second nature that's been born of God, and that is that's right with God and doesn't sin and is the right nature. We yield ourselves to the old nature and we sin, but we find though that there's a new nature within us. And then verse 12, move on. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims. So you need to realize you're different. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest. It's a matter of owning who we are, even when it doesn't feel good. Wouldn't have felt good for Peter, and that's why he didn't want to do it. It wouldn't have felt good for Peter to own his relationship with Jesus Christ at that time. It wouldn't have felt good. It was going to feel uncomfortable for him. Whenever they were coming up to him and he's warming himself by the fire of the camp of the enemy, of the people who scoffed and hated Jesus Christ, when he was there in their presence, it was going to be extremely uncomfortable for him to acknowledge, to be honest. Okay? And so what did he do? He was dishonest. He lied. He said, I don't know him. He said, I've never heard of him. He just denied the fact that even though that some of them even said, well, we know you're one of his disciples. We saw you. He denied it. It wasn't, he would lie. He took to dishonesty to do that. Well, so I think what Peter is saying here is be honest. Have your conversation honest. And when he talks about the Gentiles, that's spiritual Gentiles, those that don't know the Lord among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Affliction can cause us to cower. Affliction can cause us, it can shut us down as far as our testimony is concerned. It can so discourage us, or it can so cause us to feel like we are feel uncomfortable. It can cause us to feel very uncomfortable about doing what's right and acknowledging our relationship with the Lord and acknowledging that He is still good and acknowledging that He is in control, acknowledging, praising, honoring Him, even in our difficult situations. It's a matter of owning who we are, even when it doesn't feel good. So look here, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, that sounds like what Jesus said, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. By your good works. So Matthew 5:14-16, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And he says here, don't allow affliction to rob us of the good works that we are enabled to do with God's help, even in like the trials that these folk were going through, whatever they might have been. And so if we look here, if we go on, it's going to talk about how that testimony is to be one that extends out into different areas of our life as we look at the next several verses. But here he's just talking about shining, and he's speaking about being honest in our shining. Shine forth. Be honest in your shining. Don't allow affliction. Don't allow difficult. Don't allow trials. Don't allow stressful situations in your life to rob you of your testimony. It's one of the most ironic things in the kingdom of God that the Lord puts us through some of the most difficult trials so that we will be able to help others who are going through similar things. And why he does it that way, who knows? I don't know. But he seems to have a path and a pattern, and he's far wiser than I am, so I don't question it, even though I do question it at times. But I'm not right now. But he seems to have a pattern. He seems to have a plan that's being executed perfectly. I believe it is. I believe the scriptures. It is being executed perfectly. And most of the time, the affliction is for certain use. It's for a purpose. There's a reason in it. God is doing something really, really good with the hard things that we have to go through. And we as God's people need to see that, yeah, he may be doing something really, really good. Not easy to see it at the time of our difficulties, the time of our trials. I'm sure it wasn't easy for them to see it as they're being persecuted. But it's an encouragement, at least, to know that the Lord is in control. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity to look in your word, speak to our hearts through it. Thank you, Lord, for it. Bless the folk that are here today, and we pray for your blessings on those that are having a hard time. Pray for Sister Elsie that you might strengthen and help her, Lord, and that each breath she breathes, Lord, you might give her strength, you might give her grace, and Lord, I just pray for your hand of mercy be upon her, and that the health problems that she's having right now, and that there might be some ease to some of it, Lord, at least for a while, but Lord, I just pray for your blessings upon her and your encouragement of her and to her soul. Pray for others, Lord, that are having difficulty, Cindy and for Rod, and just pray that you might lift them up, strengthen them. Those that are traveling, I think of Jared and Melanie as they're trying to make their way across to North Carolina. I pray that you'd bless them and care for any others, Lord, that might be traveling as they end this holiday season. Lord, just pray for your mercies and blessings upon them. Lead and direct us this week. Help us to walk with you. Encourage us. And Lord, help us to just be honest with the world about who we are, and be honest, Lord, with ourselves even about who we are, that we're your people, and that that as such, sometimes our testimony is difficult. Sometimes our walking honestly before others is a test, is a trial for us. We just pray for grace and mercy, Lord, that we might own who we are. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.